You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There are certain moments in everyone's life when words simply fail. When what you are trying to take in through your senses and through your understanding is so great and so overwhelming that it's probably better just to be quiet. We've all had such experiences. Sometimes they're few and far between. But, for example, if you've ever had the opportunity to visit places like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or other great natural wonders, you are so overwhelmed by the beauty that is coming through your eyes that you just stand there open-mouthed and you're best to say nothing. Same thing happens with our ears. Anyone who is sensitive and who listens to Handel's Messiah at this time of the year, or possibly the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, or some other great work of majestic quality, you are so overwhelmed that you simply don't know what to say. And while it is always good to have moments of great beauty, sometimes even great tragedy can have that same effect. Those of us who remember 9/11 remember that you just simply couldn't quite absorb that news as it was coming to us, and we were left speechless. The birth of a child is such an event. And certainly the birth of a child who was the eternal Son of God is so stupendous and mind-boggling that you simply don't know what to say about it. Even the Scriptures, God's inspired word, struggle when it comes to describing the great wonder of God becoming human. During Advent and through the reading of Isaiah in this Mass, the prophets of the Old Testament stumbled and struggled to find words to describe what the coming of the Messiah would be like. And they took little snatches and stabs at it, but they really didn't do him justice. The story of Bethlehem that was just proclaimed in Luke's gospel tells us when those prophecies were fulfilled, simple shepherds came, and they didn't say anything. They simply stood before that first manger scene, as we stand before our manger scenes, and tried to absorb it, but quietly gave glory to God. Even St. Paul, that great apostle who wrote our second reading this morning, struggled to find the right ways to describe what a stupendous thing this was that God has entered into human history. They tried so hard, but sometimes the best answer is simply to be quiet and to try to take it in. On Christmas, we celebrate what we call the incarnation of the Son of God. Incarnation, fancy Latin word, means the becoming flesh. God taking our human flesh, and it is just so overwhelming that this occurred that there is very little one can say about it. We human beings had done such a wonderful job through our sinfulness of alienating ourselves even from our own flesh, so that we ended up with a dualistic, convoluted way of thinking where we both love and hate our bodies at the same time. And the incarnation of Jesus, whereby the Son of God took on human flesh, forever redeems us from that sinful attitude and reaffirms our nature, not just our spiritual nature, but our complete human nature, which is both spirit and flesh in a wonderful union. And I think that's what we've got to try to observe as we celebrate Christmas and stand before the manger scene. The introduction to the Mass made some mention that the idea of a manger was first conceived by St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Franciscans, who went to a little town in Italy on Christmas Eve and called Greccio and constructed a live manger scene. He knew that that would be better than lifeless figures, and so he got live people, mother and father and a baby, and live animals, and set up a complete tableau in the flesh to remind people how stupendous this was, that God has come to take our human nature. We try to replicate these things in so many ways. We've got a wonderful tableau off to the side in the back of the church, but you just can't beat live manger scenes. It's okay, I guess, that we make them out of plaster and plastic, even, excuse me, knights, wood carved in the Holy Land. But nothing can beat God made flesh. And so that's what we want to try to appreciate this morning. Jesus is not just a historical figure that came 2,000 years ago and that we memorialize in stone, plaster, plastic, and wood and whatnot. Jesus is alive and in the flesh even today. We've got to contemplate this in silence and try to take it in. And I want to tell you a little story just to kind of tell you how this kind of came home to me a year ago. And I find this story difficult to tell because I find it embarrassing and it makes me look kind of dumb, frankly. A year ago this week, I was in my regular barber shop up in Belleville getting my hair cut so I would look good for Christmas. And I always get there early so I can be in and out quickly. And there were a few men there and the barbers, and it's just going on as barbershops do. They have their own culture, you need to know that. But anyway, through the door, this very cold day, in walks a young mother and a little boy I judge to be somewhere around 2, 2.5 years old. Now the first thing you ladies need to know, that when you come into a man's barber shop, you screw us up. We have to immediately shift gears and clean up the conversation and change our jokes a little bit. But anyway, in comes this young lady, very poorly dressed, shabby, I would say, and a little boy who was dirty, desperately needing his first haircut, and had a beatific smile on his face. Well, I couldn't help but overhear this. I was sitting in the chair, and she came to the barber who was doing me, and I heard the whole conversation. She said, "Sir, we're staying in a homeless shelter right down the street, and I have no money. Could you cut my boy's hair for Christmas?" And he said, "Well, sure, and please have a seat." Well, I'm sitting there, and during the rest of my haircut, I'm trying to process this fact. And I had at least had the good sense when I got up and went to the cash register, I paid for two haircuts. And I said to the barber, "Don't tell her till I'm out of here." So I'm driving home back to my house in East St. Louis. And I'm feeling pretty good about this event. I'm congratulating myself because I was raised in a good Catholic home. I was taught that you look out for the needy and the homeless, especially at Christmas time. And I was feeling so good about that, and then all of a sudden, the full truth hit me. Sort of like one of these situations where you can't find the words. And I said, Christian, you big dummy. You have just met the Virgin Mary and the child Jesus face to face, and you didn't even know it. And that made Christmas for me last year. And I will believe to my dying day that I did. But whether, however you want to construe it, isn't that what the scriptures teach us? That we must see the child Jesus in everyone in the flesh. Not just in statues and paintings and all this wonderful art, but in the flesh, especially where he is the neediest. Because after he grew up and he said, what you do to the least of my brothers or sisters, you do to me. So I want to encourage you to stop quietly, without words, and just contemplate what that manger scene is telling us. But please don't let it stop there, because that's so inadequate. Let it become part of your life so that you too will experience God made flesh in the flesh. This is a great happiness that is well beyond words. In just a moment, we're going to stand and recite the creed, our profession of faith. And right in the center, there's a line about the incarnation. And I want you to be careful and slow down, because I'm going to put up my hand. And after we say that line, we're going to kneel down and just have a silent moment of meditation on what it means that the Son of God became flesh for us. And that would be fine if it stopped right there. But then we're going to stand up again, and we're going to celebrate the presence of that divine Christ child right here on this altar in this church. Because he didn't just come 2,000 years ago, he comes to us again today in his flesh and blood. We need to contemplate that in awe and in silence and give praise and glory to God. If that doesn't help you to celebrate Christmas, I don't know what will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.